Blog Talk Radio.
What is this I'm feeling? You wanna leave, I'm with it.
Welcome back to Sports Kingdom. I am your host, Julian Bravo, the King, and I hope everyone enjoyed their Memorial Day weekend. Today, here on May 29th, 2013, I am joined with a couple guests today. First off, we are here with Maxwell Ogden from Bleacher Report and Sheridan Hoops. Welcome, Max.
How are you?
Pretty good myself. We're also here with Sean Elmer, the doctor. Sean, how's it going today?
Good. Glad to be back on the air. Hope everyone, including all our listeners, had a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, and same goes out to our listeners and guests here on the show today. And finally, we are here with Albert Bainbridge, the guy who is known to be Big Al. Al, how's it going today?
I'm good, Julian. How are you doing today?
Pretty good myself. And this is Nate Wednesday. Today we are going to be talking about Matt Harvey, the Chicago Blackhawks, Jamarcus Russell, the MLB All-Star Game, and Dwight Howard. But first we begin with the Chicago Blackhawks today. Later on they'll be taking on the Detroit Red Wings for Game 7 and the transition on to the Western Conference Finals. I want to first go to you, Max, but do you think the Chicago Blackhawks can keep alive their faith tonight to go to the Western Conference Finals to face the Stanley Cup champions of 2012, the LA Kings?
I mean, I don't see why they can't. this is the playoffs, and everybody gets into this hype of, wow, they have to win X amount of games in a row. I don't think they really have to worry about winning their third game in a row. They just have to worry about winning this one game. And they are the best team in the NHL. Yeah, we saw it all regular season. They were dominant. They only lost 7 games all year, in regulation at least. And, you know, it's going to be in Chicago. They're 18-3-3 in Chicago. Jonathan Toews is finally discovering how to score the puck again. You know, and the most encouraging thing is guys like Toews and Patrick Kane, they haven't even hit their stride yet in the playoffs. So, you know, they're long overdue to have a breakout performance, and there's no reason why tonight can't be that night.
Yeah, how about Albert?
I'm going to have to agree with Max here. I think the Blackhawks will take it tonight in 7. Just for the home ice advantage, I just don't see how they're going to lose tonight at home. With all the fans supporting them back in Chicago.
Yeah, I could agree. But if you look at Mike Babcock, the coach of the Detroit Red Wings, he has a very nice playoff resume, to say the least. And he is along with the team, compiled of veterans. So who knows what can happen tonight, but I'm going to Chicago Blackhawks as well. Finally, Chicago – yeah, go ahead, Al.
Yes.
Oh, what was that, Al?
No, I was going to say one more thing. I just saw on the looking up stats, and I just saw today that the Red Wings also have a chance, case for the Red Wings is that they have the best winning percentage out of all Game 7.
Yeah. I think in a tight situation like this, the Detroit Red Wings may come away, even though the Chicago Blackhawks do have home ice advantage tonight in the United Center. But now if I had to go to you, Sean, what do you think? Will the Chicago Blackhawks take Game 7, or will they lose?
Oh, I'm going with the Blackhawks. Blackhawks 5-1 at home in this postseason. I can't go against them now. I think Chicago's rolling on.
Yeah, let's go back to you, Max. But if the Blackhawks were to be knocked out later on tonight by the Red Wings, then what would it mean for their whole entire season they just had? They had that beautiful streak in the start of the season, and they were the best in the Western Conference this year. So just tell me how much sorrow would Chicago Blackhawks feel if they lost tonight in the United Center?
Look, I know this is an extreme reaction, but if they lose tonight, I'd blow the whole team up. And you might say, wow, they just finished the season, you know, with the best record and all this. But they've been a mediocre, a below-average team since they won the title. You know, they missed the playoffs one year. They're having early exits left and right. And, you know, I mean, losing to the Red Wings is nothing to be sad about. The Red Wings had a lot of injuries that they had to deal with. And, you know, they're still one of the supremely talented teams. And just as a history with the organization, they're one of the best postseason teams in the NHL. But, you know, I mean, I'm not saying get rid of Taves and Kane, but if you look at it, I mean, they won the title in 2010. And the three seasons since then, they've lost in the conference quarterfinals twice, and they're not looking too good against Detroit. So my question is, you know, is this just a glamour team that looks good on paper, or are they the real deal? Because if you're the real deal, you're not supposed to be having early exits. If you have the best record in the NHL, you're supposed to be contending for the title every single year. And, you know, oh, it's only 3 years removed. Yeah, it's 3 years removed, but it's two pretty painful years that they've had to go through because they've had great regular seasons, and they've just fallen apart in the playoffs. And if that's the identity of this team, then I think you need to blow it up. You need to find a guy or a group of guys that are going to push this team over the edge, because this isn't the first time that Taves and Kane have fallen short in the playoffs, and oftentimes it's because they don't really have the supporting cast that we thought they did.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, Sean. But what would you take out of Corey Crawford's performance in the playoffs this year? Wouldn't you say like he did back in last year's playoffs?
I think you could say that, you know, in some games he's been good, other games he's been shaky. I mean, yeah, the last two games, I have to agree that I think he's been one of the big reasons why the Blackhawks are tied 3-3 and it's facing a Game 7 tonight with Detroit. But I'm one that I believe you got to stick with your best goalie and going into the playoffs. And I understand he was hurt, but now he's healthy in Ray Emery. I'm surprised that the Blackhawks haven't gone back to Ray Emery at all. And they've designated him as the backup. They're going to ride Corey Crawford, apparently, and see if he could win them the Stanley Cup, which, you know, I believe he can do it, but part of me does believe that there is some doubt whether he actually can do it. Because, like I said, if you look at it, majority of the losses the Blackhawks have taken this year, they were those games, they were goaltended by Corey Crawford. Ray Emery's only lost one game all year, and he's healthy, and you have him as the backup? I don't agree.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. Corey Crawford, he's had a great season. I mean, he's allowing Weston 2 goals a game. But, you know, it's not at the point where you're saying, you know, well, maybe this guy's going to pan out for us. Maybe, you know, his upside is going to. He's 28. If he's not going to win now, he's turning 29 this December. You need to start from scratch. And I think if the Blackhawks can't get out of this round, if they have yet another early exit for the third straight year, if you're the general manager, you have to start thinking, all right, we need to make some major changes, because clearly there's an issue with our team that says they're supremely talented. On paper, they're the best team in the NHL year after year, and they have been since they won the title, arguably since the year before they won the title. But every year they can't win. And, you know, there's only so much time you can waste before you start thinking, you know what, all these guys that are supposed to be the best in the NHL, they aren't playing that way. So Corey Crawford, to me, it's almost like he's Marc-Andre Fleury in the sense of, yeah, when Fleury's on his game, he's pitching a shutout for the Penguins. But when he's not, he's allowing 4 or 5 goals. And this year, Fleury's got it together, and that's why the Penguins are where they are. The question is, can Crawford get it together? Because if he can't, in my eyes, he's the first guy that you have to start thinking about, is this the guy who can win us a championship? Because regular season records, they mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, don't you think Albert Jimmy Howard, the goaltender of the Detroit Red Wings, has been doing much better than Corey Crawford in this playoff series?
Yeah, I think he's been doing great this playoff series. I think some could say that he's outplayed Corey Crawford this series. I think he's had a great series so far. He's had a great playoffs so far this postseason.
Yeah. Well, it should be a good one tonight, as Game 7 will happen later on tonight on NBC Sports Network. Before we get moving on to our next topic, I want to quickly get your guys' thoughts on the San Jose Sharks losing to the LA Kings. I want to go to you, Sean, but what did you think about the San Jose Sharks losing to the LA Kings?
I'll say this, Julian. I wasn't surprised, really. I kind of expected, to be honest with you, I kind of expected the LA Kings to win that series, whether it was in 7 games like it was or in however many games. I just felt that going into that series, the Kings were the better team. And, I mean, and it all goes back, in my eyes, to John Quick. John Quick, he made some key saves and key moments during last night's Game 7 in particular, and I think he was, in my eyes, the big reason why the Kings are moving on to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, most definitely. How about you, Max?
I'll tell you why the Kings are moving on. The Kings are moving on because the Sharks don't know how to win in the playoffs. They've lost in the first or second round in 2 straight years. Outside of 2010, 2011, they've lost in the first or second round in every year since 2006. There's something about this team that simply cannot break through when it matters most. And, you know, you had Anthony Niemi, the guy who deserves a lot of praise because he was absolutely sensational during the playoffs. You know, when he was having the best gotten of him, it wasn't really his fault. Now, I think that we're talking about the Blackhawks breaking up. I think you need to break up the Sharks. You have some guys. You obviously want to keep Joe Thornton in there. He's a veteran. He was very productive this year. You know, Logan Couture and Joe Pavelski played well. But it's almost like you have these 4 centers on this team that are doing everything, those 3 and Patrick Marleau. And then everyone else just decides that they don't want to show up. And, you know, to me, if this team is ever going to get over the hump and ever break through, they need to get a wing guy who's going to be a goal scorer for them, because they have all these guys that can set each other up, but nobody who's going to finish. And I think that's the bottom line. And it's sad because the Sharks have done a great job of remaining one of the, you know, the Western Conference's elite teams. They play great defense. They're very efficient on the power play. And obviously Joe Thornton continues to pad his Hall of Fame resume. But, you know, if you're not going to surround the playmakers with goal scorers, this is going to happen every single year. And the Kings were just the more well-rounded team in this series.
Yeah, I think former goaltender of the Chicago Blackhawks, Antti Niemi, did pretty well, but he just didn't do enough for the San Jose Sharks to advance on to the Western Conference Finals, in which the LA Kings are now going to. The LA Kings, God, who would have thought dating back to the beginning of the playoffs that the LA Kings would put themselves in the same position as they were last year and possibly go on to the Stanley Cup. I mean, going to you, Albert, well, what do you think, the LA Kings? Can they keep on this groove and make it back to the Stanley Cup this year?
Yeah, I think they really could, as long as I could have expected it. Jonathan Quick just stayed on this game this year. This playoffs, I could have expected it because he's been lights out this season. I think no more than two goals in any game. So he just played lights out this series. If he plays lights out, I think they have a good chance of going to the Stanley Cup and possibly winning it.
Yeah, I think the LA Kings, as long, like Sean said, as long as Jonathan Quick keeps it up in goal and as long as the team keeps on playing like they did last year, they'll be fine enough just to make the Stanley Cup Finals. But before we move on, is there anything else you guys would like to say? Would you guys like to say anything on the LA Kings? All right, well, that's good then, as we're going to move on to Matt Harvey now. Last night, Matt Harvey pitched a phenomenal game in a tough city by the name of New York. Matt Harvey has been doing absolutely phenomenal. He has one of the best ERAs in baseball and has been winning most of the games for the Mets, as he hasn't lost a single game yet in the 2013 season so far. MLB All-Star Game is ready to take place in City Park this upcoming July, and I want to first go to you, Albert, but do you think Matt Harvey should start for the National League this year in the MLB All-Star Game?
Personally, yeah, I think he should, not just because the Mets are going to be the home team for the All-Star Game this year, but if you just look at these numbers, he's had amazing numbers. But last night against the Yankees, he went 8 innings, we gave up 6 hits, and then only one earned run and no walks and 10 strikeouts in 8 innings. I think he's just been the best pitcher so far this year in the National League, so I think it should go to him to start the All-Star Game.
How about you, Sean?
I couldn't agree more with what Albert was just saying. I mean, Mets home team, you got to, even though the Mets are struggling, as we know, in the NL East right now, but still, with them being the home team for the All-Star Game, you got to give them their due. Matt Harvey should start the All-Star Game.
Now, before I go to Max, I just want to quickly bring up that I saw a poll on the MLB Network yesterday, which had Clayton Kershaw going higher than Matt Harvey as the NL starter for this year's MLB All-Star Game. I mean, going to you, Max, would you have to agree with that? Would you put Clayton Kershaw onto the mix, or would you put Matt Harvey into the mix, who has done a phenomenal job this season and can pitch in the city of New York where he plays?
I would give it to Harvey just really solely based on the fact that he is in New York. You know, you have to think about the crowd. You have to think about what do the fans want to see. And I think, obviously, the fans are going to want to see their hometown guy. I personally think Harvey is one of the top 5 pitchers in the entire MLB. I think he's, in my humble opinion, I think he's better than Strasburg. But, you know, to me, the only two other guys, there are two guys that I think should be starting over him based off of ability, but Harvey should get it because of just what he's been able to do with such a poor team around him, specifically defensively. I think it's been incredible. I would start Kershaw over him. I don't think anyone's going to question that Kershaw is the best pitcher in the National League. But how about Patrick Corbin of the Arizona Diamondbacks? 23-year-old left-hander comes in first full year really. He's eight and oh with a 1.71 ERA. I mean, he's been absolutely incredible. Nobody's really giving him his due. He's been sensational, but again, I mean, as you guys said, it is in New York. You want to give the home crowd what they want to see. That's really, you know, you're an all-star regardless of if you play or not. So that's on your resume. So why not just let the hometown guy go out there, give the fans a show for an inning or two, and, you know, get the crowd involved. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. From my personal standpoint, I would love to see Matt Harvey pitch in this year's All-Star game. Clayton Kershaw, yeah, he's done slightly better, but I think Matt Harvey deserves the deal this year in the MLB All-Star game. So the number to the show today is 646-716-5733. Once again, 646-716-5733. Now, let's get on to Jamarcus Russell, the first pick selected in the 2000 NFL draft, who has ever since he turned out to be a bust over in Oakland. He left in the year 2010, but has now been on the track of coming back into the NFL or somewhere else. Maybe they're staying in the CFL, but Jamarcus Russell has been trying to make a comeback now. He's trimmed down a lot of weight. And so I got to first go to you, Max. But do you think Jamarcus Russell can once again excel at the NFL level or play elsewhere?
You know, the Bleacher Report has actually been covering this story closer than anyone. There's actually a great series out if you want to go on to Bleacher Report and find it, where we profile his comeback, how Jamarcus Russell is working with guys like Jeff Garcia to really get his mechanics down. But, you know, the latest news is Jamarcus Russell has gone from 309 pounds to 265 pounds. That's 44 pounds. That's his exact weight when he tore up the 2007 NFL scouting combine, caught everyone's eye. And according to Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, there's significant interest from multiple teams. And I think there should be. At this point, you know, what's the risk? He's not going to be signing a $60 million contract. He's not going to be signing, he's not going to be signing for 5 years, 6 years. It's really just going to be a low-risk, high-reward kind of situation where you say, you know what, we're an established team. Maybe a team, the Patriots, the Broncos, whoever it is, decides, you know what, we have our quarterback in place. But as we've seen with so many injuries, you can never have enough depth. So why not bring in some guy who has the ability in place? Nobody's ever going to question Jamarcus Russell's ability. It was really just, did he have the mental makeup? Did he have the commitment? And in the past, he didn't. Now it looks like he does. You know, you don't lose 44 pounds for no reason. So, I mean, why not? You know, you sign him to a one-year deal. It doesn't take too much of a hit on your salary cap, and you just see. You know, let's work him out in practices. And if he works out, who knows? I mean, think about how Michael Vick came back from jail and suddenly a year later he was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL again.
Yeah, yeah. The media couldn't tell us specifically where Jamarcus Russell may land, but if I had to go to you, Albert, where do you think Jamarcus Russell might land?
Carson Palmer left Oakland. I could possibly see him maybe back in Oakland, or like Max said, maybe as a backup in Denver or possibly in New England, but I don't know. Possibly anywhere as a backup, sign him as a one-year deal, see where he goes. If he works out and does everything they say and he keeps his weight, I could see him maybe stay anywhere as a backup. Just in case, like Max said, if there's any injuries or anything, he could be available the next best available for the team.
Yeah, I think he'd be best suited to play somewhere as a backup, play behind a veteran somewhere. He can't automatically start in the NFL. He's going to have to get some assistance first and work his way up the ladder like he did back in his college career and then was drafted first overall by the Oakland Raiders. I highly doubt the Oakland Raiders will pick Jamarcus Russell up again, but you never know in this league. So going to you, Sean, but where do you think Jamarcus Russell may land, and also what do you think of how do you think of the way Jamarcus Russell has been able to come back, trim down weight, and try to compete once again in the NFL?
To answer your latter question first, Julian, I'll say this. I got to give kudos. I mean, 44 pounds, I wasn't exactly aware of the amount of weight that Russell has lost over time. So I got to say kudos to him. And I think I'm going to say this. I have to agree with Max and Albert. I think he does. Some NFL team will give him a chance. I could foresee him landing anywhere that you guys were saying, like Oakland or Denver or New England. I mean, behind a veteran backup quarterback like Manning or Brady, for example. I mean, why not take a chance on him? I mean, if he's lost that much weight and he's showing the effort, I'd give him a chance on my team, that's for sure.
Yeah, hey, Sean, going back to you, but what if Jamarcus Russell were to go to the New York Jets? The New York Jets have been desperate to get back into the playoffs, and so do you think Jamarcus Russell could sign with the New York Jets and lead him in towards the destined or, glory?
There's an outside chance he could sign with the Jets. I mean, the Jets, but don't forget, the Jets still have, if I'm not mistaken, like four quarterbacks on the roster. So keep that in mind. I mean, they still got, even though they got rid of Tebow several weeks back, they still have a number of quarterbacks on their roster. So I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but the Jets would actually benefit if they signed him, I think, so why not take a chance on?
Just to throw two names into that, I think two teams they should watch for. Seattle would be interesting just because Pete Carroll loves playmakers. You know, there's never enough depth. But I think the team that I would love to see pick him up is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, when it comes to the playoffs, he could have a broken neck, and you know that guy is going to be out on the field. But, you know, it's come to the point where he gets hit so much because of that old offensive line that, you know, he does miss some regular season games. Why not bring him in? You know, you could never have enough depth at the quarterback position, like we said. You know, I don't know if Pittsburgh wants to keep dealing with the idea of, well, let's hope that a guy like Charlie Bass can step up. You know, maybe you bring him in. He has a similar body type to Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger is on pace to be a Hall of Famer. You can't find much better of a mentor.
Yeah, what if Jamarcus Russell went to the San Diego Chargers? There's a veteran quarterback, Philip Rivers, who may be in his last year ever with the San Diego Chargers, but still, Philip can lead Jamarcus through his guidance and maybe become the next quarterback of the San Diego Chargers, Jamarcus Russell. What would you think about that, Albert?
I could definitely see it happening, because I don't know if Philip Rivers has another year like he had last year, if he's going to be there for long, so I could possibly see it happen. With Jamarcus Russell starting as a backup maybe this year if they sign him, and then if Philip Rivers isn't there next year, then starting for the Chargers next year, the following year.
Yeah. Before we get going to a very big topic, I want to very quickly plug in that this Saturday we're going to have a special show along with Maxwell Ogden, who is here with us now, on me, and someone from Slam Online, his name is Ed Isaacson, and he's gonna be on with us talking about the NBA draft. We're pretty much gonna break down to you all the upcoming rookies getting ready to enter the NBA draft. Should be very special, as we're gonna cover a lot on that show. So make sure you tune in for that. And also this Sunday, don't forget the Week in Review will be on. We'll be thoroughly talking about the NBA playoffs, the NHL postseason, and John Tortorella. John Tortorella was recently fired by the New York Rangers, so we'll get to that as well, and we'll have much more on that show of the Week in Review. So now let's get on to a very, very big topic, Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is set to become a free agent on July the 4th. Dwight Howard once again is in the people's speculation again, as he will be set to become a free agent on July the 1st. I think I have to go to expert on the NBA and Max, but Max, do you think Dwight Howard should leave LA, or do you think he should go elsewhere?
To me, yesterday threw a huge, huge curveball when the Atlanta Hawks hired Mike Budenholzer, the former assistant of the San Antonio Spurs. That to me makes Atlanta Dwight Howard's hometown team. You know, before they were, they had cap space, okay. But now they have a coach who's been a part of four championship teams and a team that's currently in the NBA Finals. And he's got there by being the coach of Tim Duncan and David Robinson, two of the greatest big men to ever play the game. So to me, if I'm Dwight Howard, I'm saying, so I get to play under this guy who runs his offense through the big man, builds his defense around the big man. That to me says, I want to be there. Realistically, I think it comes down to Houston and Los Angeles. And Houston, you know, a lot of people are labeling Houston as the best basketball destination for him because they have James Harden. They have guys like Chandler Parsons. You know, people can make fun of Jeremy Lin all they want. Lin is still one of the better pick-and-roll point guards in the NBA, and Howard gets the majority of his baskets off of the pick-and-roll. He really couldn't find a better duo. As we saw, Lin and Amar Stoudemire run that very play almost to perfection last year. But again, I think, you know, I just don't see why Dwight Howard would leave Los Angeles. You know, you can talk about the Kobe factor. You can talk about D'Antoni. Here are the facts. Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, and Metta World Peace will all be free agents next summer. So basically what you say to Dwight Howard is this: if you're Mitch Kupchak, the general manager of the Lakers, if you come back to the Lakers, you spend one more team with a guy that's won five NBA championships. One more year with a power forward, Pau Gasol, that's been an anchor for two NBA championships. If it doesn't work out in that year, the next summer, guess who's a free agent? LeBron James. I don't think you really have to sell anything more than that. The Los Angeles Lakers remain the most glamorous franchise in the history of the NBA. Boston Celtics may be the most accomplished, but everyone in the world wants to play for the Los Angeles Lakers, and anyone who tells you they don't is lying to you. So Dwight Howard has the allure of the Lakers. They pitch themselves to any free agent. So basically what you say is you come back, you play with a team that can win a title. We all know that this year was a fluke, and anyone who tells you wasn't is lying to themselves. So why would you leave? You have a team that you can win a title with. If it doesn't work out, you have mountains of cap space the next summer, and the organization that's most likely to sign any star that's on the market. So to me, it's a no-brainer. You go back to L.A.
Wow, Max, you're making me swing at a curveball right now. Do you seriously think that LeBron James could join forces with Dwight Howard in LA in the near future?
I don't think it's out of the question. I think LeBron James is going to return to Miami. I think, as much as they tell you they aren't, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are purposely swinging and missing with small forward prospects because they want to try and re-sign LeBron James. Their fans will never admit that, but that's borderline fact. But, you know, even if you can't get LeBron, the next best free agent, whoever that is, whether it's a point guard, a shooting guard, a power forward, small forward, it doesn't matter. whoever is a free agent, as long as the Los Angeles Lakers have the cap space, they are immediately the front runner to land that player. That's just the way it's been for the past 30, 40 years.
Well, Albert, where do you think Dwight Howard could end up?
I mean, I want him to come to LA. What Max said, I think he could, but I don't know. I think he could possibly go to Houston. I think I agree with Max, what Max is saying, but after what's happened all of this year with the Lakers, I think they should have, since they don't have a first-round draft pick, since they got Steve Nash from the Suns, I think they could have possibly traded him for a trade deadline and get at least a good first-round draft pick from the Rockets or from somebody doing like a three-team deal or something. But what Max is saying is true. I'd like to see that happen. I could see that happen too. Maybe not LeBron, but like a top free agent after next year if Dwight signs on for one more year.
In my opinion, the Lakers need to get young. They need to get young, and I just don't feel that Dwight Howard fits into the equation for another year. I think Dwight Howard is tired of waiting. He was tired of waiting over in Orlando. He was tired of waiting just this season with L.A. He wants to win a championship, period. He wants to win a championship. He wants to get back there ever since, I believe, 2009. So, I don't think he fits into the equation, which leads me to ask you, Sean, but do you think he should stay in L.A.? You happen to be an L.A. Lakers fan, but from an honest opinion, where do you think Dwight Howard should go?
If Kobe Bryant didn't suffer that Achilles injury, Julian, I would say he should stay with the Lakers, but you have to look at the facts. Kobe's going to be 35 in August, and, you know, his future is cloudy due to that Achilles injury, so you don't know when he's coming back. Yeah, they say he could be ready for the season opener, but I don't buy that. I think there's a real chance Kobe may miss the majority, if not all, of next season. Or at the earliest, he won't be back till after the All-Star break. So, and with D'Antoni still likely to come back right now, even though I'll bring up one interesting fact about him real quick, with the Cavaliers not too long ago hiring the former Lakers head coach Mike Brown, bringing back Mike Brown, the Lakers only have to pay one coach, and that's D'Antoni as of right now. And they would have to pay another coach if they were to fire D'Antoni, but word is that they're bringing D'Antoni back, so, and Dwight Howard doesn't really care for D'Antoni that much. He feels that D'Antoni didn't go to him as from a leadership standpoint. So I got to agree with like some of the other rumors that are out there. I think Dwight Howard might go to Houston. That's my fear. Although my heart is hoping he'll stay with the Lakers. And as far as what Max was saying, I think the Lakers, believe it or not, I'm going to go out on a limb. I think the Lakers are going to be LeBron James' next team.
Well, I'm not sure that they're going to be the team that gets LeBron James. I'm just saying that is the caliber player available. Here's some of the players available in 2014. When Kobe, Pau Gasol, and Metta World Peace all become free agents, all their contracts are gone, and L.A. has mountains of cap space. John Wall, instantly right there, you say, wow. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. All day. My point isn't that L.A. could be the team that gets LeBron James and creates the powerhouse. My point is this. It is a genuine fact that the Los Angeles Lakers are the front runner for almost every free agent every single summer, and it's because of the allure of the organization. Now, I think Kobe Bryant's injury can actually be used to Dwight Howard's advantage. First and foremost, if we're talking about the injury, if Kobe Bryant's out, then the offense immediately runs through Dwight Howard. He gets his touches, and when Kobe comes back, he says, you know what, this team can win with Dwight Howard. What's the difference between Dwight Howard and Shaquille O'Neal? When Shaquille O'Neal came to the Los Angeles Lakers, he was the best he was arguably the most dominant player in the NBA, but he never won a title. Dwight Howard came to the Los Angeles Lakers as the best defensive player that was limited on offense, and thus Kobe Bryant was hesitant to give him the touches. Secondly, if we're talking about Mike D'Antoni, let me ask you a question. If Dwight Howard walks into the front office tomorrow morning, goes, Mitch Kupchak, Lakers general manager, the only way I will come back is if you fire Mike D'Antoni. Do you think Kupchak would even give it a second thought? I think D'Antoni would be out of the damn door the second Dwight Howard requested that happens. I don't think there's any question about that. And quite frankly, I don't think there should be a question about that because the Lakers could turn around and hire an abundance of available coaches that are intriguing, including Brian Shaw and Stan Van Gundy. I don't think, you know, everybody wants to talk up Houston. Here's the bottom line about Houston. Houston's a young team that has no sign of being a genuine contender. Houston lost in the first round this year. They only won two games because Westbrook went down. You know, James Harden, yeah, that's intriguing. James Harden put up a dud in the NBA Finals, didn't play that well in the playoffs. So Houston, they have all this cap space, but until they prove that they can put something around Dwight, what's really different about Houston from the Orlando Magic? Well, one extra player? I don't see it.
Yeah, and referring back to the point about Mike D'Antoni being fired, I mean, yeah, you're right, Max. It could happen any second. Like the way Chris Paul went into – well, actually, he went to Stern, the owner of the Celtics, and said, look, I don't want Vinny Del Negro anymore in L.A., so therefore fire Vinny Del Negro and let the rest be history and go out and find another head coach.
And if that's the route that Howard wants to pursue, then he has every right to try it. And, you know, you can call him a coach killer. That's not a coach killer move. That's saying the only way I want to play for your team is if it's under a different coach because I don't believe that the coach you currently have is going to maximize my ability. He doesn't coach in the style I like. And if that's what he says to the Lakers have a decision. Do you want to keep the coach that has never won anything in his career, or do you want to get the player that can lead you to a title? And if they choose D'Antoni, that's their decision. But if they choose Howard, I mean, you know, nothing is set in stone. And if spending money is the issue, that's not really an issue. I mean, the Lakers generate more revenue than any team in the NBA, even when they have a bad season.
It's obvious that D'Antoni and Howard have friction. And also, it was obvious dating back to the NBA All-Star week that Will Howard and Cody Bryant seemed to have a little friction. I mean, like I said, Dwight Howard does not finish the equation in L.A. I think personally, he deserves to go elsewhere where he can win a championship.
1-5-1-4.
I believe the Atlanta Hawks would be a nice fit for them. They hired Mike Budenholzer. He could possibly lead them through the Spurs way.
And
you have a new GM, Danny Ferry, who's going to try to shake things up this free agency. He has come prepared to change up the whole organization in Atlanta. And so my point being, you have Josh Smith who's ready to become a free agent. You have Chris Paul who's ready to become a free agent. And you also have Dwight Howard, ding, 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 the guy who was born from Atlanta and I think should go to Atlanta. He could team up with Josh Smith and Chris Paul and become the new big three over in the Eastern Conference.
Well, let me ask you one question. What happens if the Atlanta Hawks sign Dwight Howard and then Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, and all those guys decide that they don't want to join him in Atlanta? Howard and Horford, that's nice, but are you going to tell me that Howard Horford and a bunch of role players is better than Howard, Kobe Bryant, Pau Gasol, and Steve Nash? I mean, let's be real. The Lakers were only healthy for about 40 games of that season, and they went 28-12 in that time. 28-12. That's a 56-58 win season for a team. Just under 60 wins, competing for the top spot in the West. That's who the Lakers are. And if they're healthy, they're still the best on-paper team in the NBA. They just don't have the athleticism, like you said, but athleticism is easy to acquire. And don't forget, Paul Gasol is still one of the most valuable trade pieces in the NBA. You might say, oh, well, his reputation is reputation. Put reputations aside. I don't really care what any of these fanboys think. The truth of the matter is, Paul Gasol is still one of the top five power forwards in the league, and there's not really many that are close to him. Blake Griffin, no. Kevin Love, no. Paul Gasol ripped up 3 triple-doubles in his final 7 games of the season. That's as many triple-doubles as LeBron James had all season. Paul Gasol is still elite.
I know.
If you want to trade him, you can trade up into the first round. You can get 1 or 2 athletes. You want to talk about the Atlanta Hawks, how about you trade Paul Gasol to the Atlanta Hawks for the 17th and 18th picks in the draft? Get 2 athletes right there. The fact of the matter is this. Even without athletes, the Lakers are still a favorite in the West. And even without athletes, the Lakers would be significantly better than the Houston Rockets would or the Atlanta Hawks would next season unless the Hawks or Rockets manage to pull in another elite signing. And Josh Smith is not one of those players.
Yeah, well, let me add on here, but Josh Smith is best friends with Dwight Howard. And if you look at Chris Paul knows how to work for a team and lead them to the finals. I feel that Chris Paul, Josh Smith, Dwight Howard would turn out to be a great bond together.
But here's my point. What happens if Dwight Howard signs somewhere and Chris Paul doesn't join him? If Chris Paul says, let's join up, I'm all for Dwight Howard going wherever Chris Paul wants to go. Because that's the way the league is. There's no parity anymore. 14 of the top 19 scorers in the NBA this year played for the same team. 4 of the top 19 in 2010 played for the same team. There's no parity. My point is this. If Chris Paul doesn't agree to join Dwight Howard somewhere, then Dwight Howard has no reason to go out there. Yeah, him and James Harden, that would be nice, but they're not going to win a title this year. They're not going to beat the Thunder. They might not even beat the Spurs. If Dwight Howard stays with the Lakers, and the Lakers can orchestrate a trade with Paul Gasol, which is very likely, and get younger, get more athletic, they're one of the best teams in the NBA, and they're instantly competing for a title. And if it fails in 2014, they have the same amount of cap space as the Rockets and the Hawks have this year, except they're the most attractive franchise in the NBA.
Before we go over to Albert, I want to quickly say, Sean, can you please put the noise in the background?
Sorry.
You really got to stop, or else I'm going to have to pull you from the conversation here. I'm sorry to our listeners, and I'm sorry to Max, but let's continue anyways, though. Going over to you, Albert, you said The Houston Rockets would be an ideal fit for Dwight Howard. But what would you also think about Dwight Howard landing in Dallas? What would you think of Dwight Howard suiting up in a Mavericks uniform next year alongside a star who went to the NBA Finals, Dirk Nowitzki?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I could really see Dwight Howard landing in Dallas. I think I could see him probably rather ending up in with the Hawks or the Lakers or Rockets better than the Mavericks, because I think you need a successful point guard in Dallas, and I don't think they don't really have one right now. And I think that's what Dwight Howard wants, unless the Mavericks get one in the draft. But I could see him, what you said, I could see him pairing up with Chris Paul and Josh Smith rather than, or like going to Houston or staying in LA rather than going to Dallas with Dirk Nowitzki.
But going to you, Sean, what would you think if Chris Paul were to also land in Dallas?
Then that would make Dallas all the more of an interesting destination possibility for Dwight Howard. But that's all, you know, speculation. I mean, I could most likely see Chris Paul signing, re-signing, should I say, with the Clippers. So, you know, I mean, because he's got Blake Griffin there, and he's got Lob City and all that, the whole hoopla there. So I think that I could see, more likely than not, I could see Chris Paul re-signing with the Clippers.
Well, let me ask anyone here about Chris Paul. Do you think Chris Paul can play with Deion Jordan and go to the NBA Finals? Yeah, you've seen some spectacular highlights of DeAndre Jordan connecting with Chris Paul with the alley-oop, but do you think Lob City may want to be suppressed and instead just thinking through the mind of Chris Paul, do you think Chris Paul would want to considerably go elsewhere and play for someone who's ready to win now, who's ready to go to the championship now? I mean, anyone can answer that question right here and now.
I don't think he's leaving Los Angeles. You have to think about, you know, when you go and play for a team, you're not just going to play for a team. You're moving your entire family. You're relocating to a different geographic location. And a fact is, people want to live in Los Angeles. And that is a genuine factor in this situation. And, you know, with no disrespect to Houston or Atlanta, the two teams that are most likely to get Paul if it's not – or and Dallas if it's not the Clippers, I just don't think anyone has the allure in terms of the city. Now, you can make the case that the Clippers aren't going to contend, but the Clippers were one of the best defenses in the NBA, number four scoring defense. They also had two very valuable trade pieces in Eric Bledsoe and DeAndre Jordan. If they trade Bledsoe and they say the only way you can get him is with Jordan, Jordan's going to be a part of the deal. So they have a chance to get younger. They have a chance to get better as a shooting team. And really, that's really the Clippers' only weakness right now. They have Jamal Crawford, one of the best six men in the NBA. They have Blake Griffin, one of the fastest rising, arguably one of the premier power forwards. They have Paul. They have a great defensive unit. What they lack is half-court scorers. They don't have a low post player. They don't have a consistent three-point shooter. Now, you can find a three-point shooter anywhere you want. I mean, there are more three-point shooters on the open market every year than there are anything else. So finding a shooter isn't an issue. The issue is finding that low post player. And quite frankly, Dwight Howard isn't a low post player. He's never been a low post player. He's capable. But, you know, if you're going to start saying that he's going to do the things out of the post that Roy Hibbert and Marcus Saul and Tim Duncan are doing, I don't think you know what you're talking about. So for me, I don't really see a more attractive option. You know, if you can trade DeAndre Jordan and Eric Bledsoe, and Bledsoe will eventually be traded because if you re-sign Paul, where's his upside in L.A.? As long as you can flip those players for the proper pieces, I don't see why he wouldn't want to stay. Because, you know, I mean, players are going to want to play with Chris Paul regardless of where he goes. He's arguably the best point guard in the NBA. And I just, you know, Blake Griffin's coming into his own. And the Clippers really don't have that much in place, but they're still a 50-win team. Yeah, it's honestly not the best destination for Paul. But at the end of the day, it just doesn't make sense for him to leave because the options that he has just aren't attractive enough.
Let me get back to you, Max. But well, what more do you think the Houston Rockets can do to persuade Dwight Howard to sign with them? Yeah, they have the executive of the year from a while back, Daryl Morey, and then you have James Harden, who put on a phenomenal season once again and went to the NBA Finals just last year with the Oklahoma City Thunder. But what else can the Houston Rockets do to persuade Dwight Howard into stopping?
They need to get another star. I mean, that to me is about if you add Dwight Howard to that Rockets team, they're a top four team in the Western Conference, and they're a good team. But they're not going to contend for a title. They're not going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they're not going to beat the Spurs if the Spurs keep playing like this. So to me, you know, the only way that you can overcome it is, you know, I talked about Josh Smith isn't that guy. In Houston, Josh Smith would be that guy because you need a third-tier star. You don't need a superstar. You need an Andre Iguodala You need a Josh Smith. You need a guy who can come in and play great perimeter defense. But that throws you in such a loop because here's where Houston is tripped up. They already have a small forward for the future in Chandler Parsons. They just traded to acquire Thomas Robinson. I don't know that there are going to be many players that are going to be willing to sign into a lame duck situation where they come in and they're the man right now, but in 2 or 3 years when Parsons and Robinson enter their prime, do they want to be the guy that's being passed over? I don't think that's the situation that players want to enter. You could, if they can land a star point guard, that's great, but really beyond Chris Paul, there isn't a star point guard. And if you're going to sign Josh Smith or Iguodala, you need to give up on Parsons or Thomas Robinson. So they're in a great position for the future, but I'm not sure that they really have the most attractive package for Dwight Howard as people make it seem. They have mountains of cap space, but they also have some difficult roster decisions that they really haven't committed to yet.
Even though they brought in Lynn, even though they brought in Omar Sheik, I still think that the Houston Rockets, like they did the very last offseason, I think the Houston Rockets might once again do anything just to get a superstar. You saw how much they sacrificed just to get a star, James Harden. I mean, I think the same off season can recur once again and possibly see Dwight Howard in a Houston Rockets uniform.
I mean, and it could, but it to me, you know, if you're Dwight Howard, you have two factors right now. If I go back to Los Angeles, I'm going to a team that's built to win a championship this year, and if they don't win, then I have all the cap space in the world to pick and choose the players that I want to play with. Or I can team up with one of the free agents this year and find somewhere. If he doesn't find the player that he wants to team up with, I don't think he leaves Los Angeles. If he does, then he has every reason to leave.
Yeah. Well, Sean, Albert, Max, is there anything you would like to say, anything else about Dwight Howard? We can also talk about the San Antonio Spurs, who recently won against the Memphis Grizzlies and recently put themselves into the NBA Finals. I mean, let me ask you, Albert, but what were your thoughts on the San Antonio Spurs knocking out the Memphis Grizzlies and going on to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, honestly, I could see the Spurs beating them. Like, I'd pick Memphis to win that series, but I didn't think that they would sweep, that they would go in and sweep the Grizzlies like that. I think they just played, even though the games were close, I think Spurs just played excellent that whole series that they swept the Grizzlies in. I don't know if anybody saw them sweep the Grizzlies, at least in like a 5 or maybe a 6-game series, sweeping. Wow, Spurs just look good.
Yeah, they do, but I think people are forgetting that. Hang on for a sec.
Okay.
All right. Got that taken care of. But now, let me get back to what I was saying. The Spurs did not overcome an easy hurdle with the Memphis Grizzlies. As you saw, the Memphis Grizzlies played, I think, very well defensively, along with the likes of Marcus Gasol, Michael Conley, Tony Allen. Michael Conley was even able to contribute on the offensive end. I mean, it wasn't an easy hurdle for this new team. So Greg Popovich even admitted it. So, going to you, Max, but what did you think of the Spurs overcoming the Memphis Grizzlies and going on now to the NBA Finals?
I mean, I said at the beginning of the year, and I stand by what I said when we were on this program, that if any team in the Western Conference could beat the Heat, it was either the Spurs or the Lakers. And I told you at the beginning of the year, and I'm going to tell you this next year, if the Oklahoma City Thunder don't get a low post score, they will never, ever beat the Miami Heat for the NBA title. They can beat everyone else, but they have no chance against the Heat, period. The Spurs, however, have distinct advantages over the Heat and basically everyone else in the NBA. Now, everyone likes to look at the stat sheets and do all this. Tony Parker, you have every reason to believe that he's the best point guard in the world. And if you ask NBA analysts that are former players or current players, most of them will agree that he is. Now, Chris Paul, this is not taking anything away against Chris Paul, but we saw Tony Parker destroy every single player that he was tasked with facing. He outplayed Stephen Curry when Stephen Curry was at his hottest. He outplayed Mike Conley while he was on the rise. Last year, he dismantled Chris Paul. When you think about it, I mean, do you really believe that Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole are going to slow him down? And you say, okay, well, now you shift LeBron onto Tony Parker. Here's why I think the Spurs can beat the Heat. The Spurs have an abundance of three-point shooters, probably more than any other team besides the Heat. They don't have one player that they run through. They run through whoever is open, and they give the ball to whoever is open because so many players on their team shoot at least 35% from beyond the arc. I believe 8 separate players shoot above 35%, 8 active players. But when someone needs to take over, it's proven that Tony Parker can. He scored 37 points in the game clincher. The key here is Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan is still one of the most dominant players in the NBA. Yeah, it's not just, wow, look at what he's doing while he's this old. Tim Duncan, statistically speaking, was the best big man in the NBA this year. From a mix of scoring, rebounding, facilitating, and defending, no one was even close to his level. If you really want to get down to it, Tim Duncan was a better candidate for Defensive Player of the Year than Marc Gasol, but everyone likes to take this, well, he's great because he's doing this while he's old. If he had done this at 28, people would have been saying, wow, this is incredible. So to me, you know, you're looking at a team that can work from the inside, where the Heat are weak. Roy Hibbert's exploiting that in this series. I'm sorry, but Chris Bosh, he was the best player on a bad team. He has no chance against Tim Duncan if they're isolated. You have a Spurs team that shoots the ball as well as anyone else in the league. They managed to outshoot the Golden State Warriors. I told you at the beginning of the year, and I stand by it, if this series goes deep between the Pacers, or excuse me, between the Heat and the Spurs, and I think that's what we anticipate seeing, I think the Spurs have a genuine chance of beating the Heat for the title this year.
Yeah, most definitely. But if I had to ask you, Albert, on whether you would agree with Max or not, you might say, well, the San Antonio Spurs, they've had an outstanding 15 years now, along with Greg Popovich, and Tim Duncan, the first overall pick he took, and ever since led him and the whole San Antonio Spurs organization to 4 NBA titles. They've never won and they've never lost in any of their NBA finals appearances. So if I had to ask you, Albert, but would you agree with Max that the Heat are unstoppable and they can't be beaten by the San Antonio Spurs, or do you just think that the San Antonio Spurs have the better shot?
I think San Antonio is a really good shot out of everything about what Max said about the depth of three-point shooting and just shooting overall with Spurs and have Tim Duncan down low still dominant in his late years as his career. So, yeah, I still give the Spurs a shot. It's good, very good. Very good chance of beating the Heat. I think the series goes in the deep. I think they could do it if they face the Heat.
Yeah. I mean, it much depends on how Tim Duncan play, because, like Max said, Chris Bosh isn't going to stop Tim Duncan on the defensive end, and plus Tim Duncan, he's going to have to step up on the offensive end, so the Spurs can do well all around. They have According to Jalen Rose, Tony Parker is the third best player in the entire NBA, right behind Kevin Durant and LeBron James. If you had to ask me, I would slightly agree with that, but you do have to give credit where credit's due. Tony Parker, he's been the key reason as to why the San Antonio Spurs have been able to sustain success over the years. They've been able to sustain success over the past 6 years, to even add on. The Spurs, it's been an amazing journey. Like Max said, from the start of this year, we could be saying the Spurs and Heat go into the finals. The Heat are still playing the Indiana Pacers. We all get that, but I think there's no doubt in mind we'll see the San Antonio Spurs and Miami Heat match up. But if I had to quickly go back and ask you, Max, but would you agree with Jalen Rose's comment on Tony Parker being the third best player in the NBA, even though he's done very phenomenal in the playoffs and has done very well with making the Spurs sustain their success over the years?
I'd say that it's a deadlock between him and Kobe. Everybody likes to say, wow, look what Kobe's doing when he's 34. Kobe led all shooting guards in almost every single major statistical category. And he played like LeBron James. He facilitated for the final 40 games of the season, and the Lakers won 28-12. So he's still there. The injury throws a curveball there. So I think really, I was talking about this the other day. You know, we're in a situation that the NBA has never seen before, because, you know, everyone says LeBron James is the best player in the world, and chances are he would be, regardless of the generation, sans maybe Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. But the issue with today's NBA is this. You don't have a lot of players in their prime. And it's because of the high school craze. Everyone says, oh, well, you should be able to come one and done. Look at what it's done to the NBA. Of the top 10 scorers in the NBA, you have players such as Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, over 30. You have players such as Stephen Curry, Brooke Lopez, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, under 25. The best players in the NBA today aren't in their prime anymore. So to me, that makes it interesting. So you're basically saying, all right, who's the best remaining player once you get past Kevin Durant and LeBron James? And I think, you have to agree. You know, Tony Parker, everyone wants to talk about statistics and reputation. Tony Parker is competing for a title every single year, and he's been the best player on the Spurs for the past few years. And this year he led them to the finals. Tim Duncan's been incredible. No one's going to deny that. But Tim Duncan said it verbatim, I'm riding on Tony Parker's coattails. Now, that's selling his efforts short. But without Tony Parker, they're not in the NBA Finals right now. Without Tony Parker, the Spurs are a good team, but they're not a great team. They're basically what the Memphis Grizzlies were this year.
Yeah, Tony Parker, I felt, over so much time, he's been overlooked. He's been overlooked of his success. He's been overlooked of the journey he's taken the San Antonio Spurs through. I mean, I could go to say Tony Parker is the best point guard in the NBA, period. He's in the prime of his career, and as we're speaking today, Tony Parker, I feel, is the best point guard in the NBA, without question. But now, with these last 5 minutes, before we move on, I want to quickly go to you, Albert, but would you like to add on anything about Tony Parker?
Not much, but yeah, I agree with you, Julian. I think he's still in his prime. He's the top point guard in the league. I still think he's still the top point guard in the league. As the best player in the league, I don't know. I'd say at least top five, maybe like the fourth, because I'd still have to put Kobe ahead of him. But as long as this season pertains and Kobe hurt his knee or ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah, so I think Tony Parker's at least a 4 or 5, if not the third.
Yeah. Well, we have, we've had much to debate on that, but now we have to move forward to our last topic, which is the Washington Redskins. Many people across the country have been biased over the name, the Washington Redskins, and so has Congress. Congress recently stated out that they're unhappy with the Washington Redskins name. They think, and many other people think, that the Washington franchise should change their name. So first going to you, Albert, but do you think the Washington Redskins should change their name? If so, then what idea could you possibly come up with for a new name?
I mean, yeah, I think they should, because of just like of what you read, the article you read is probably the same I read about the Redskins and what Congress was saying, how it, with the other races and like the with African Americans, like the N-word, like it's the same as that with the Redskins, so. Yeah, I think they should change it. And what, like, suggestions they gave, like, the Red Tails, I don't know if that's the best one, but I can't really think of another one, but something along the lines of that I think would be better than the Redskins.
Yeah, I see it should be changed as well. I thought a good name for them would have been the Washington Patriots, but you can cross that out of the picture since you have Patriots team up in the north, so... I don't really know about a new name, but I can tell you one exact thing that they should change their name. So finally going to you, Max, for the final question of today. Do you think the Washington Redskins should change their name? If so, then what idea could you possibly come up with for their new name?
I think that, you know, you have options. I don't know if they should be specific, but I just feel like if you're offending a group of people that large, then it shouldn't even be a second thought. You know, you should just really be considerate of what's socially acceptable. And quite frankly, that's not really a socially acceptable name.
Yeah, they did have success coming off last year with RG3, and the way they're kind of saying now, oh, they should change their name, you know, it kind of sucks, but in the meantime, though, it really justifies the image your franchise has on the whole entire world, or the whole entire country. So that about wraps up for Debate Wednesday today. I want to thank you, our listeners, and I want to thank Maxwell Ogden for joining us and Albert Bainbridge. Max, haven't heard from you in a while, but if there's anything you want to say about Bleacher Report, then go right ahead.
I just look forward to the Saturday show. It should be a good one. There's a lot of interesting storylines for the NBA draft.
Yeah. And don't forget to tune this Saturday. We will be joined by Maxwell Ogden, who's a very good expert on the NBA, and we will also be joined by special guest Ed Isaacson from Slam Online. I can't give you a definitive time, but I'll update on our Twitter page, in which you can follow at sports2_kingdom. So once again, thank you. You can re-listen to this episode on iTunes and Stitcher. I have been your host, Julian Bravo, the King. And so tune in this Saturday and Sunday for another show of Sports Kingdom. Peace out, guys.